This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Obama's proposed Iran deal, that's going to require a good deal of trust from the international community. We're going to take a look at that later this hour. Also, words never spoken. History will never know. A Texas choir relives a speech John F. Kennedy was scheduled to give in Dallas, but never gave. It's a stirring song tribute 50 years after the assassination. And who is worried about the shaky U.S. economy with stocks hitting record heights again?
Hi, this is John Paul calling from Detroit. I am concerned there will be another crash at some point because I think of it in terms of bubbles. And I think the biggest bubble we have going on right now is higher education. More and more people are going into tremendous amounts of debt, and at some point, the government will stop funding higher education. What will happen then? I'm not sure.
Is another crash coming? We'd love to know what you think. Warn us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or reach us at thetakeaway.org. We will look at one theory that the next crash is already upon us. But to Wall Street, where J.P. Morgan Chase has agreed to pay a record $13 billion to the U.S. Department of Justice for bad mortgage-backed securities trades made before the 2008 financial meltdown. It's the largest sum that a single company has ever paid to the U.S. government. But it is not the end of the story, either for J.P. Morgan Chase or its controversial chairman, Jamie Dimon. Joining us now is Dawn Kopecky, finance reporter for Bloomberg. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, Jamie Dimon, has he put this behind him, or is this really on his record now?
It is on his record. All of these fines are on his record. It's going to be part of his legacy. But he has put these particular lawsuits behind him. However, none of what was settled yesterday precludes the Department of Justice from going after the bank criminally. And so that's still going to be a large overhang. If J.P. Morgan as an entity were to be indicted criminally, it's the last time it was done was Arthur Andersen, and we know what happened to Arthur Andersen. And so prosecutors are nervous to do that, and yet at the same time they feel a burden to if they see a high degree of criminal activity at a bank, they feel more of a burden today than they ever did before because people are criticizing DOJ for falling behind on the financial crisis and not putting a single banker in jail to do something.
Does Dimon feel personally as though he did the government a favor by bailing out these companies that were writing these mortgages and now he's being punished for that?
Absolutely. And he's even said that publicly. The government did not – the fine, the $2 billion fine that J.P. Morgan agreed to pay yesterday was only for wrongdoing that J.P. Morgan did, not Bear Stearns and Washington Mutual. The big costs come from covering the losses that Bear and WaMu caused other investors. And Jamie has said repeatedly that he would not – if he were in the same situation again where he had 24, 48 hours to analyze a deal and do it on behalf of like the federal taxpayers basically, even though he did get it at what at that point was considered a steal of a price, he wouldn't do it.
We're talking about Bear Stearns and
Bear
Washington
Stearns.
Mutual,
yep.
And both of those failing spectacularly during the financial meltdown.
Yep.
And because of the mortgage-backed securities that were on their books and were really sort of causing them to go up in flames.
Yep.
Now, part of what the government says, though, is that, okay, maybe there were problems and you didn't have more than a few hours to just sort of do your due diligence when you acquired these companies, but those problems continued once they were a part of your J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, and that's really the big issue here.
Yeah, some of the problems did continue, and the bank itself packaged some of their own mortgage bonds that were bad. This is something that you're going to see with a lot of banks. So it was big, it was ugly for J.P. Morgan, but we do know that there are investigations into Bank of America and other big banks that were large mortgage bond producers. And so this was something that became such common practice in the banking industry that nobody thought anything was wrong with it at the time, even though it does appear to have been illegal.
I'm wondering if what we're really seeing here is an acknowledgement that the banks are not essentially self-regulating, that the abandonment and erosion of the regulatory schemes of, you know, the 1980s and 1970s,
yeah,
have really created a situation where when you consolidate these huge institutions that become too big to fail, they also become too big to oversee.
Well, Alan Greenspan had a theory that it was in a bank's best interest to self-regulate because the reputational risks were so high if they had some sort of malfeasance like this, a big public, you know, big black eye like this. But he's admitted that even that he was wrong, that that theory of economics, that corporations had an incentive to self-monitor and self-regulate, doesn't pan out. Their incentive is to earn quarterly profits. And when you have short-term goals like that, it's all the long-term perspective of what's this going to do to our bottom line in 5 years if we lose money off it? What's it going to do to our reputation if this blows up? All that kind of goes out the window. So Wall Street's incentive is money, and people should not forget that. I've covered Wall Street in Washington for 20 years, and their incentive is to make money. And that is really it. They're not altruistic. They're not charities. They are not out to help homeowners. They're out to help themselves at the end of the day. And that's become strikingly evident with what we're seeing coming out of the financial crisis.
So this $13 billion fee, speaking of money, mm-hmm. where does it go? Do consumers get any of it? And does it really matter in the end?
Consumers get some of it. I'm not sure how much it matters. It may make a big difference in the lives of the few people who are going to get some of the money. Consumers were given $4 billion or were allocated $4 billion out of this. Some of that is going to go to reduce the outstanding principal balances of loans, probably for homes that are underwater. So if you owe more than what your house is worth, and you have a Fannie or Freddie loan that J.P. Morgan services, you may be eligible for some sort of principal reduction. You may be eligible for some sort of interest rate reduction. That may make a large difference in those individuals, but it's not, by and large, you know, the general public is not going to be getting any of this money. It's going to be going to the Department of Justice. It's going to be going to reimburse Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for losses they took, which does inadvertently benefit federal taxpayers because they owe them so much money for their bailouts. And it's going to go to bond investors. It's going to go to hedge funds. It's going to go to the people who bought these bonds, which you know, a lot of people don't have sympathy for those investors who may have been opportunistic at the time. But they lost real money, and they believed the investment disclosures they were given, and those investment disclosures turned out to be wholly inaccurate.
Dawn Kopecky is finance reporter for Bloomberg. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.